When my dad was alive, we used to go to family reunions down in South Georgia. If you've never been to a family reunion in South Georgia, let me describe it to you. It's hot, there are a lot of gnats, and you don't know any of the people there. You know, you're just like, look around, you're my cousin, twice removed or whatever. Well, anyway, my dad, this was something special to him, and so he researched into our family. And so, like, my family, really, you know, even though it's Paul Cook, and now I've got a family of my own, there were Cooks and Kellys, there were Ashcrofts and Simcox. All of these poured into me to make me who I am. Now, I didn't really get into researching my family tree because, I don't know, I can't stay focused long enough is what it is. So my sister did this, and she traced it back, and come to find out, we have a Nathaniel Green who was fought in the Revolutionary War, one of my ancestors, fought in the war. If you come on down a little bit more, I had people that fought for the North. I had people that fought for the Confederacy. I had people that fought in my family that fought in the World Wars, World War I. And if you think of World War I, that was the war to end all wars, right? What do we find out? There is no such thing as a war that will end all wars. It also kind of showed me that as people, we like to fight. We like to fight. In Christmas Eve, 1941, the British were on one side, the Germans were on another, and they were settling down after it got dark. And all of a sudden, the Germans started raising some tree branches and started hanging some lanterns. And so the British are thinking, what is going on? You know, then all of a sudden they start singing, Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht, Silent Night, Holy Night. And of course the British guys sang in English and they sang in German. And then they all got together under this truce for Christmas Eve. They shared chocolates with each other, they exchanged buttons, and just moments before they were trying to kill each other. But this peace, just this unnatural peace, just kind of settled over them. And of course, when they were done, they all went back to their side. As soon as the sun came up, they started trying to kill each other again. And I think about that lesson because there is no such thing as a war that's going to make us stop fighting. We like to fight. You may say, no, I don't like to fight, but I'm weary of it. I turn on the news, and we're fighting. We don't get along. You're either this or this. And if you're this, you get in trouble being this because you don't go with this, this, and this. And if you're this, you get in trouble because you're not this, this, and this. And when you try to meet in the middle, you make everybody mad. And then the COVID. Who knows what's going on with that? Some people are getting the shot. Are they really getting a shot? No, they're not getting a shot. That's fake. It's just, like, stop. Stop. We're not happy unless we're causing problems. But that's not new. That's not new. Israel was a nation that God set apart and said, you are mine. You are my people. And he said to the Hebrews, he said, you know, I'm going to make you my people. And you have one job, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is what God told them. You are to shine my light through you so that other nations will look at you and say, I want to worship that Yahweh. Of course, they couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And so God would send prophets. God would send armies. God would use whatever he could to get their attention. And so Israel would wander around in the desert till they got it right. Israel would fight, and then they'd say, like, man, I like this fighting. And then they'd fight without God, and they'd lose. And then they'd fight with God, and they'd win. And it was just this and this and this and this. And it's because they were trying to do things in their own strength. Instead of being the people God called them to be, they were trying to do things in their own strength. And you're thinking, like, well, stop right here. Merry Christmas, everybody. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. All right, so let me get back to my horror story. So what happened to God's people? Finally, 700 years before Jesus comes, he raises up the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah comes and says, we're in for it. We are going to be devastated. You know, you think the Babylonians were bad? The Assyrians are worse. And they're going to come and they're going to take over. They're going to destroy everything. They're going to wipe us out. They're going to do all of these things. And so they were thinking, oh, okay, I guess, you know, we should listen to God. But they didn't, so God did what he said he would do. But he tells us in chapter 2, and this isn't on the screens, Tony. This is, I decided to do this different. He says this in chapter 2. He goes, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord, that's Bethlehem, I mean, that's Jerusalem, shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills. In other words, I am going to raise up this nation and it's going to be better than anything else. And he says this, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways. In other words, I'm going to raise it up, and it's going to do what I wanted it to do from the very beginning through these people, through this mountain, through my pouring into these people. People are going to come and say, hey, I want a part of this. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge, God, he shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall, I love this, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war no more. In other words, I'm going to raise up this nation, and they're not even going to understand what war is. It's going to be a kingdom of peace. They're not even going to know about war. And all of these weapons of war are going to be turned into tools of industry. And it's going to be this wonderful thing, right? And so the Assyrians come, and they take them over. And then after a while, they get to start kind of heading back a little bit. And when they come back, they're thinking like, okay, things are going to be better. No, God, there was another army that was raised up, Rome. And so when they came back, they were under Roman oppression. And so we think 2020 has been rough for us. I just wanted to set the stage that our 2020 was not like what the Israelites had to go through. They had it bad too. They came back thinking everything was going to be good. But there was Rome. And so when the good news that we read today, where the angel spoke to the shepherds and said, you know, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to those whom he loves. They were excited. They were excited until Jesus grew up and he didn't overthrow Rome. See, they thought all of a sudden, they were going to have this Savior that was going to come in, make everything great. He's going to kick out Rome. He's going to kick out all the other people. All of this stuff's going to happen, and then we're going to reign. See, they were looking for something completely different, but Jesus came and said, no, I'm the Prince of Peace. Turn the other cheek. Love those who persecute you. Pray for those who are angry with you. And that wasn't the kind of Savior they were looking for. We do the same thing in our world today. You know, we think whoever wins this election, whenever this election mess is over, that's going to fix everything. No, it's going to make things even worse. Because half of the country thinks this, half of the country thinks this. You think it's all going to come like this and everybody's going to hold hands and sing kumbaya? No. And I've learned that if you fight because you got a cause and you think that's the only thing out there, as soon as that gets taken care of, you find another cause to be angry and bitter about and militant. We're not people of peace. See, Merry Christmas, y'all. You getting it yet? We're fighters, y'all. We love scrap. But the problem is we do it in our own faith. We do it in our own strength. For example, we think what we really want, what's going to help all these problems, number one, money. We need more money, okay? I saw that the government is going to send us another check for $600. Man, that doesn't even pay for my grandson's Christmas present this year. You know what I'm saying? It's like they've got trillions and trillions of dollars that they're wasting, but you're going to get $600, but they're going to tax you on it. You watch. So money, we find out money doesn't do what it says. You know, it doesn't solve the problem. Money's not bad in and of itself, but it's not going to bring peace into our world. Happiness. We just all need to be happy. We need to just quit being so bitter and angry and stuff. It's not a bad goal, right? But happiness is built and based on happenings. We were sharing with a couple last night. He was showing this new room that he had just got finished. And I was like, man, this is awesome looking. He goes, yeah, we've actually had 1 month where something didn't go wrong. And it's like, yeah, isn't it like that? You finally think, you know, I look at Margie and I say, you know what? We've got a month that things are going right. And next thing you know, the bathroom falls apart. Or this happens, or this, or your mom decides to move into your house. I don't know. Could be. But you see what I'm saying? That there's always something that's going to change our circumstances. Married. If I could just get married. Until you do. Right? And then your spouse doesn't change like you think your spouse should change. Money in the bank, but no peace in your heart. Successful outwardly, but you feel empty inwardly. Married, not always peace. But the angels announced the birth of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. We say that, peace be with you. Peace go with you. Go in peace. Grace and peace to you. We say that, and we mean that, I think. We want peace, because what's the opposite of peace? Tension, fear, anxiety. Our relationships, we want peace in them, don't we? We don't want angry and tension and stuff. We don't want to be misunderstood. We don't want to disagree. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to be people that are just unforgiving. What we really need in our life, though, is peace. Is 2020, is peace even possible? Is it even possible? I'm going to switch over to Isaiah chapter 26, and it says this. And again, they are in a season of fear, unsettled. Isaiah is hammering them hard, saying all of these things are going to happen. And he says this in chapter 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. Listen to this now. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. There's a couple things in there, and I underlined them. See that? He will keep you in perfect peace. Who does he keep in perfect peace? Those whose what? Minds are stayed on him. Paul tells us in the New Testament, think about these things. Think about these things. Jesus says, in the world, you're going to have trials and tribulation, but to be of good cheer, because I've overcome those things. So don't even think about those things. You know, whoever our next president is, we're going to survive. We're going to survive. I mean, I was here when Jimmy Carter was president. I like Jimmy Carter, but I was too young to know anything about him. Heck, I like Richard Nixon for the most part. Then found out the kind of stuff. You know, they're people. And they'll only be there a short time. But we fixate on everything. And our government. Government by the people, for the people, of the people, taking advantage of the people, you know? Everybody says, oh, you know, like, I believe in this part of government, but if you talk to people, people will say, no, man, we need to fix government. People will talk about their schools. Oh, we need to fix the education system. Well, what about your school? Oh, no, our school's fine, but the education system needs to be fixed. It's like we're just going to find stuff to jump on our high horses about instead of stopping and saying, let's think about what God tells us to think about. Let's fix our minds on him. Let's fix our minds on the fact that there are people dying today that don't know Jesus Christ. Let's fix our minds on how our church can move outside of the sheltered and stay away from everybody thing to reach out and help people that are in need. Let's think about those things, and it takes our mind away from some of the things that we think are big problems. The word in there where he says, you will keep in perfect peace, he uses the word shalom. But this is in the Hebrew text, it says this, shalom, shalom. Actually, it's sirot, shalom, shalom. It's in there twice. It's a double portion of peace. That's why it's translated as a perfect peace. It's a double portion. Wouldn't you love to have a double portion of peace? A double portion of peace. Peace doesn't mean no trouble. Jesus promises we're going to have trouble. We're going to have problems. Nothing breaks. You live in a world where nothing breaks? No. Do you live in a world where the kids never fight? How many times did your mom or dad have to tell you, you stop it or I'm going to turn this car back around? Anybody? Or was that just me and David? I'm telling you. And my mom was serious. And my mom, I don't know, you see my mom, she's like a short woman. And she's got kind of short arms, but when she was driving, she could reach to the back seat of that station wagon and rip us a new head and everything. When she even looked in the rearview mirror, me and David started crying, and Mom, what's wrong with you? So I don't know. We figured something was coming. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. Listen to this. It's not a thing that we hope for. True peace is a person. It's a person, and it is found in the Prince of Peace, and that person is Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is our peace. That's our rock. That's our strength. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's our love. He is our peace. He is our peace. Can you have peace when your marriage is falling apart? Doesn't feel like it, but you can. You can. Your children get mixed up and hooked up on drugs. Can you be peaceful with that? Doesn't feel like it, but you can. You can. The battle for peace begins in our mind. You have to change the mindset. We have to change our heart and our mind. Perfect peace. Notice Isaiah doesn't say perfect peace for those whose minds are fixed on CNN or Fox News. Or Channel 5, or the 5, or the 10, or the 12, or the whoever, or Oprah. He doesn't say those who are fixed on the future, who faced maybe good news from the doctors. He doesn't say that. He says whose minds are stayed on you, and he's talking about God Almighty. Changing our mindset. The word is samak. And it means to lean completely, to fully rest upon. You will be kept in perfect peace. This is what the New Living Testament says. You will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And the NIV, it says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. So what's your mind fixed on? Right now it's like maybe Paul, hurry up and get finished. I don't know. Maybe it's what you're going to have for lunch. Maybe it's, I don't know if I'm going to let the kids come over today. Did you turn off the oven? Did you unplug? I don't know what's going on in your mind. So what are you fixed on? What consumes your mind? Because that's where we're going to drift. That's where we're going to drift. Financial worries, you know, if you're struggling, you need some money, you need a blessing or whatever, that's where you're fixed on. I know what you're saying is easy for you, Paul. Just start thinking about Jesus things. But I'm struggling. Yeah, we all are. In different ways, we're all struggling. Is it easy to do? No, because we're like the Israelites. We take it back. You know, this summer on the water cooler, I went all the way through the minor prophets, and I talked about what the minor prophets were saying. Hey, they're saying, man, come on, wake up, wake up. God wants us to do this. Hey, this is going to happen. We kept talking about that. What happened to the Israelites? They get it for a minute, and then they go back to their own way because it's like, hey, when things are going good, God, I don't need you. It's only when things are bad that I need you, and where are you? Dread. Friends driving us crazy. Things, we start thinking, what could go wrong? Paul says this in Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. My God is good. His promises are true. His word never fails. Here's what it says. Scripture says that he never leaves me. He never forsakes me. When I'm lost, he's my guide. When I'm weak, he becomes our strength. When I'm hurting, he becomes our comforter. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And if you believe that, you have access to this peace that passes understanding. There's a peace that the world can't get because they don't know Jesus Christ. In fact, they'll get mad that they can't get the peace that you have. And they will try to fight you because you're not supposed to have that peace. Because they don't know Jesus Christ. But Jesus says this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. My peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. And there are two kinds of peace. And I kind of want to close with this story in the Bible. The disciples are on the boat. Jesus is asleep. I mean, he'd been preaching, healing. He'd been doing all of his Jesus stuff. And he was worn out. In fact, the word that used for Jesus' sleep was the same one when he put Adam to sleep to take the rib to form Eve. It was a supernatural sleep. He needed it. He was refreshing. He was asleep. But what happened? This storm comes up. And when a storm in your life happens, what happens? Inside, you start to freak out, right? And they were like this, right? So the first piece is not our piece. They're like, Jesus, wake up. Don't you care? We're gonna drown. We're going to perish. And so that's the first piece we want. We need Jesus to fix us. And we do that. We fix our mind until something happens. And then it's like, Jesus, where are you? Where are you? Jesus is there. He promises he'll be there. And he is there. But it's hard for us to garner that sometimes. Jesus is there. We just have to stop and get ourselves out of the way and let Jesus be Jesus. That's the first thing. But the second piece that happens in that story, there were two storms. That first storm was with the disciples. The second storm was the actual physical storm. And with a word, Jesus says, peace, be still. And the waves stop, the storm stop. Do you realize the creator of the universe is the one that gives us peace? He can calm a storm with his word. He can calm the storm in our lives. We just have to give it to him. God, I need help here. God, I don't want to be like this. I need peace in my life. I don't need peace what I think it is. You know, more money, just the absence of all of these problems hitting me at one time. No, I need more of you in my life. Because if there's more of Jesus in my life, then I'm spending more time and more thoughts on Jesus in my life than I am on the things going on around me. Praising God, easy things to do. We get this peaceful, easy feeling, right? Real praise happens in the middle of a storm. It's easy to get up here and sing when we're all in a good mood. Hey, 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 you know. It's like getting in the car, yelling at your kids, come on, we're going to be late, and you're smacking them around, and you get here, and everybody's like the perfect church family, right? Right? That's that fake peace. You know where the real greatest peace would happen? Is when the kids are yelling in the back seat, you're trying to put eyeliner and lipstick on, your husband's over there, whatever your husband's doing, telling you, watch out, step on the brake, do whatever, and you want to kill them, but you stop and you're breathing and you're just saying, Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. And it's amazing that this peace just kind of comes over you. Peace isn't found in the absence of problem. It's only found in the presence of God. True peace is found in the person. And that person is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray for peace. We live in a tumultuous time. Our world seems to be spinning out of control. But Father, that's what your book says. That things are going to get a lot worse before anything gets better. And so, Father, we pray that there would be a revival that sweeps across our nation, not just so that everything kind of gets okay for a little bit, because, Father, we're just like your prodigal children. Father, we just, when things start to go easy, we kind of take our foot off the gas and just coast. Father, I pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we could focus our mind on you, that we would just have strength to remove the distractions that kind of clamor and make this noise for all of our attention. Father, I pray that we would spend more time in quiet, more time in your word, more time on our knees praying to you. And Father, I pray that your peace would just pour over us like the rain. And Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.